Hello, and welcome to Capital Compass. We are the official podcast of the New York State Catholic Conference. I'm your host, Jillian. Today, in episode 36, I'll be talking with Bishop Emeritus Nicholas DiMarzio about the migrant crisis. Throughout the 2024 legislative session, we are giving you updates on what is happening in Albany. Without further ado, here is your Legislative Minute. Welcome to the Legislative Minute. I'm your host, Jillian. Today, recording the Legislative Minute is Monday, February 26th, 2024. Not too much has been happening in Albany recently. The legislature has just returned from their winter break, and for the next few weeks, they will be focusing on the budget, due at the end of March. I do want to remind our listeners that our number one priority right now is stopping the assisted suicide bill. To learn more and take action, you can visit our website, nyscatholic.org/action-center. Please let your legislators know that you do not agree with this heinous legislation. And that's all I've got for you for our Legislative Minute. We'll be back after a brief message. Are you interested in staying up to date with New York State legislation pertinent to the Catholic Church? Do you want your Catholic voice to be heard? Sign up for the Catholic Action Network by going to our website at nyscatholic.org/action-center or texting CAN to 50457. Again, CAN, C-A-N, to 50457. Over the past several years, New York and other states have seen an increasing growth in the number of migrants entering their states. As many know, this has been a hot topic of debate in recent months. Here to talk about the migrant crisis is Bishop Emeritus Nicholas DiMarzio from the Diocese of Brooklyn. Bishop DiMarzio has been a long-standing advocate for immigrants, spending his time in the areas of immigration assistance and resettlement services. He has also served as both an advocate for refugees in immigrant concerns in political forums, and as the initiator and administrator of programs to assist refugees and immigrants within the U.S. and throughout the world. Bishop DiMarzio currently serves as chairman of the board of the Center for Migration Studies. Currently, he is a member of the board of the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, Inc., also known as CLINIC, the USCCB Migration Committee, and the Migration Policy Institute. Bishop DiMarzio is also a member of the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant People. Previously, the bishop chaired the boards of the Migration Committee of the USCCB, CLINIC, and Finance Committee of the Catholic Relief Services, and the Migration Policy Institute. From 2003 to 2005, Bishop DiMarzio served as the U.S. representative to the Global Commission on International Migration, a United Nations-sponsored commission. That was a very long introduction, but welcome to the show.
I've been involved for over 50 years directly in working with migration, so I have a lot of history behind me. And we continue to make new history.
I am so happy to have someone with such deep expertise on our podcast. I hope you can help our listeners to cut through all the noise and really understand what's going on. I'm sure we could talk about the subject for hours, but unfortunately, you know, we don't have that kind of time. So to start, how did you get involved in immigration policy?
Well, it was kind of almost accidental. My first assignment as a priest was with new immigrant community, and I started to get involved in that way and recognized that I was working with immigrants. I needed to know more about immigration law, took a course on that in New York City. I was in Jersey City at that time in New Jersey, and eventually got an MSW in social work policy, and then eventually a doctorate, which I did research on undocumented aliens in the New York metropolitan area. So little by little, I gained expertise in the policy area and eventually became director of the United States Catholic Conference Office on Migration. So it's a long time of gathering information and being in the right place to know things.
So, obviously, again, this has been a hot topic, but why is this such an important topic for the Catholic Church?
Well, because first of all, we're protecting the human rights of people, not just Catholics, but everyone who is a migrant. It's certainly clear from the gospel itself. The Lord told us we must welcome the stranger. Unfortunately, the policies that countries have regarding strangers coming, which is legitimate, and borders are legitimate, and defending a country's right to admit whom they wish is a legitimate thing. At the same time, there are other intervening, very good moral questions. For example, the right to asylum, which is part of international law. And it's complicated in our own case because these people who are coming to the southern border are asking for asylum, have passed through a country where they could have asked for asylum and they're not. And that's one of the issues of really that should have been part of what was emphasized, but it's not being done that way. Some ways, some people want to be heroes and taking everyone, and the other people want to be ogres, but not taking anybody. So we're on two sides of an issue where common sense and law would direct us to find some lasting solutions. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening right now.
Now, as you said, you've been doing this for 50 years, so this is probably a little too broad for you, but how have you seen immigration views change over the years?
Yeah, we've had ups and downs in our whole immigration history, which really begins in the beginning of the last century. We've seen ups and downs in how the American public views migration. Sometimes it's with prejudice against certain groups, starting with the Chinese Exclusion Act. And it went on from there. In 1922, we had another terrible watermark where we excluded Southern and Eastern European migrants almost as completely from coming to the country and favoring Northern Europeans. So it's been a kind of a half-open door. We've never had, I think, probably an enlightened policy. And it's a difficult one for a country as large as our own. Migration was really driven by labor needs. That's why we let everybody in 1900 to 1922. Anybody could come, as long as they were healthy, they could come. And then we started to restrict things, and it's been restrictive ever since. We had one watermark day in 65 when a new law was passed giving each country in the world, theoretically, a certain quota for each particular year, about 20,000. Some things, it's not very easy for most countries to get that high. Some are oversubscribed. So our laws have been uneven, really. It's not been a very good history of immigration, understanding it, nor allowing it legally to happen.
New York City has become such a focal point for what we now call the migration crisis. Can you tell us what you have seen that is actually happening?
Well, what we see is people coming to New York, and everybody wants to come to New York. I mean, it's one of the destinations in the world for tourism. But these people are not tourists. They're looking for a new life. They think New York will offer it to them. Some of them are being kind of forcibly brought here by buses coming from the border, being told one thing or another. They come and they get here, and first of all, it's cold, and they're used to warm weather, and they don't have even the proper clothing. Thank God this wet winter has not been too cold. So we have the problem of just housing these people, finding a place where they can be safe. And then again, because work authorization is not being given, it's taken 6 months for each individual case, they can't work. So some are working in the clandestine manner. So it's a very messy situation. Should never have gotten to this point. There were ways I think we could have dealt with this. And one of the things we have to understand is what is the right to asylum? It's part of international law. I mean, this is a international agreement among nations, and it goes back to the 1950s after the Second World War, that people who were fleeing persecution or the threat to their lives could come to other countries and seek an entry. But they're supposed to go to the first country of entry where they've entered to seek that right of staying. And this is where this has not been observed in our situation. People are going through many countries trying to escape legitimate problems. For example, Venezuela's become the new Cuba. In fact, it's being run by Cubans, really, when all is said and done. And they're very clever of how they use immigration as a safety valve. So anybody that wants to go, let them go. So they won't give us trouble here. They can go some other place and have trouble. Communism also is very good of whitewashing people's conscience. So recently we've had an incident in New York where you see some of these migrants beating up policemen. Well, they just don't have a conscience anymore. The rule of law is not what they've seen. They try to get away with anything they can. It's unfortunate, but there are always those people who have bought the line of communism. Do whatever you have to do to survive. And that's part of the problem. We saw this with the Cuban refugees, some of them who came in waves. And this is what's happening again. We're being played as a country because of our openness, which is a good thing. But we also have to have some kind of order in how we receive people, which has to be done in a different way.
One of the concerns many are having are the expenses of welcoming these migrants and refugees. Can you explain why it's so important to make sure they're cared for? You know, especially, again, you know, we know this is a very complicated situation.
Well, again, New York City is basically maybe the Cadillac place for migrants. I mean, we saw the pictures last week of Denver. People are sleeping under highways, you know. So we're putting people in hotels. I mean, this whole idea of a sanctuary city, I never was really enthusiastic about that because this has no meaning. It has a meaning now because it means come and we will take care of you, give you a right to a residence. But so that is partly what attracts some people here, or as I say, they're being shipped here. People have blamed the church of trying to attract people. We're not attracting anybody. We're trying to deal with the people we have on our doorsteps, just giving them the basics of life. We can't leave them in the cold, can't let them starve. That's what we try to do. It's not as some politicians have made it, that the church is somehow attracting people because they're treating them well. Well, that's a very simplistic view of what's happening and what normally people of goodwill will do when others are in danger. So it is it's a complex matter. And most people don't understand it. The media sometimes doesn't help because they only focus on what's extraordinary and not really get to the bottom of really what's happening. The United States is in a situation that we have to observe international law. If we want to be like the other countries that don't do it, well, that's what happens to a country like ourselves. We're so sticklers on the law. They're saying these people are coming illegally. Well, there's another law, too, that's saying that you have to accept them if they have a real right. Part of the negotiations in Congress, which have now fallen apart, were to try to get that right a little bit clearer and try to find a way that you could have a quicker resolution for the claim. But that's all finished at this point, and who knows what the next stage will be. So we are in a situation, we are a beacon of hope to the world, people do take that advantage of that sometimes, but should we change our national character because we're having problems dealing with this particular matter? I don't think so.
Now, as you said, news outlets have made this quite something, and they've turned it into a partisan issue. But why is this actually a nonpartisan subject that we should all focus on?
Well, because it's humanity that, and people are not depending on their party. We have to treat them well or not. So these are people at risk. They're at risk people. They don't have anything, mostly few clothes and no money, and they have to be housed and fed. Again, politics is being politicized. The matter is being politicized and not dealt with properly in politics. There's no compromise. There's no understanding of the facts. Everybody sees their own view of the facts, and it's caused harm to the people and also harm to the attitude of our own people, the United States, towards immigration. They say we're being invaded. This is a it's characterized like an invasion. It looks bad. It's not what we've had. I always used to say that undocumented immigration in the United States is invisible. In other countries, like for example France, people they're sleeping on the streets. They what now we see the same thing happening. We're in the same boat. So we really are making this a negative view of migration instead of a positive one, where we do need always new, need new people with a population rate that is not gaining any ground in the United States. But it has to be an orderly migration. It cannot be this disorderly situation we find now.
As children of God, how can we make a difference, both big and small, in this situation?
Well, certainly, again, our attitude must be clear. It should be one of sympathy and compassion. And then our actions should follow that, we give what we can to the organizations that are helping these people on our doorsteps and in our cities to do right by them, to giving them the necessity. And also, thirdly, again, trying to get to the policy issue, because unless the people of the country express their desires to the lawmakers, we're going to continually see this becoming a partisan issue without resolution, only used as a tool in gaining power in our country without really resolving the underlying problem.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. We just covered the, we kind of blanketed this, but unfortunately, we don't have as much time. Again, as I said in earlier, we could take hours on this. But to close out, can you end us with a prayer?
Sure. Lord, we ask your blessing upon us and upon these migrants and refugees who come to our country looking for Lady Liberty. Let Our Lady of patron of refugees and migrants, give her help to them, that they may find a welcome that they deserve as human beings. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Capital Compass podcast, and thank you so much to Bishop DiMarzio for coming on the show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be coming out with a new episode the last Wednesday of each month. If you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And to catch all the latest from the conference, you can follow us on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter, at NYS Catholic Conf, and on Facebook at NYS Catholic Conference. Thanks again, and God bless.